that the Lord may be pleased to help me, I'd again direct your attention to the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13, and reading verse 4. And we'll be making reference to the following four verses. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Oh, what a virtue it is, charity, because it does not rest and rely upon natural resources. Though natural resources may be the excuse for misplaced charity, for some indeed will vaunt themselves because they consider themselves to be full of charity. Friend, in other words, taking all the praise to themselves. You know, we cannot really love ourselves. Love, my friend, is that twofold virtue. And I say, what a virtue that is, which that love which cometh down from heaven to poor and needy sinners. Yes, even the love of God. We love him because he first loved us. Therefore, we look at our resources here below. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. Because salvation is a free and sovereign grace, and it cannot be bought. Salvation cannot be obtained on merit, as the like of good behavior and a keeping of the commandments in and of our own strength and effort. No. But oh, charity does not vaunt itself. It comes like the psalmist when he said, all my springs are in thee. I say, what an endless word that is, in that you cannot explore it as long as you live here below. It's so vast, it's so great. Oh, we have nothing to vaunt ourselves about, to think that we are better than anyone else. Friend, if our behavior is more becoming and is more controlled and regulated by the gospel than others, remember, it is all of that wondrous charity of his, supplying and giving us according to our need. Therefore, all the honor and all the glory is unto the Lord and to him alone. Yes, it must be surely said, charity vaunteth not itself. Sinner, if thou art vaunting thyself in charity at this time, do not be pleased with thyself. Do not congratulate yourself over it, because it is a forced charity, and charity that is unacceptable as Almighty God. Friend, it's a charity that will not give you pleasure or any satisfaction to know and to do His will. Charity vaunteth not itself. I often think of that dear woman whom Jesus observed. He saw her put her two mites into the treasury. Some might say, well, what good is that going to do? But my friend, Jesus puts it in the right light. He said, why that woman has more charity in her than the rest of the people? Why has she given her all? Her all. I say, charity doesn't vaunt itself. I shall once remember a man saying to me, see that man over there? He goes past a collection every week and he doesn't put a penny in. He said, but and he went forth on about what he put in. And I said, yes, but there's one thing I know, that the Lord sees what we put in, and He sees what we hold back. Oh, charity. Oh, it cannot vaunt itself, can it? In any way whatsoever. It's not puffed up. Not puffed up. Oh, may God give us all that grace, which is charity, that we might ever seek to so live and behave as not even letting our left hand know what our right hand doeth, or our right hand know what the left hand doeth, and so on. That is true charity. My friend, to say what we have done and what we have given, it's just full of pride, isn't it? And I wouldn't put any more adjectives to that. But I'm sure Almighty God can reveal such things unto us, the right way to live. Oh, be under the influence of charity. Oh, I say that more excellent way. Now he goes on to say that charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly behaviour in a matter is not charity. And oh, that we might ever see God's face, that we may not act ourselves unseemly. And you know, that is so easy to do. To so manipulate it. So called a type of love and affection. To gain further ends. Friend, but charity does not behave like this at all. Unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Surely we have a portion here today, if nothing else, to take home each one of us and to look at it, and seek the Lord's grace that it might search us out and find us through and through. Yes. It thinketh no evil. Have you any evil thoughts this day? The Lord Jesus Christ speaks much about evil thoughts. I remember being asked not to use that phrase any more within this place, evil thoughts. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking with regards to the fruits of wickedness, he begins by evil thoughts. And who can get away from that? My friend, evil thoughts. Oh, we sometimes can have to confess we've gone to bed or fallen asleep, and our thoughts at least have not been good. And there's no grey areas here. Have they not been evil? And when we awake, what have our thoughts been? What were our thoughts this morning? What will our thoughts be tomorrow? You may not look upon them as evil. What I want to do. Such thoughts as that on a Monday morning surely portrays what our thoughts were on the Sabbath morning. Finding the Sabbath and the keeping of the Sabbath an irritant, finding it to be a matter that we do not approve of, but tolerate it. Oh, friends, evil thoughts. Oh, how many evil thoughts we have. Evil thoughts in watching other people. Did not the apostle say, doth not behave itself unseemly? My friend, charity, that highest grade of love, it never wishes evil even upon our enemy. I say how solemn that is. It may be you have thought in your heart, well, it may be that this illness that comes upon them, or perhaps this tragedy that comes upon them, will be the end of them. And then they'll be removed from the scenes of life, and I'll be troubled no more. Friends, surely that is not charity at all. Why, it only desires wishing and looking to furnish our own ends. Surely it can be summed up like this, that is downright murder in our hearts. Oh, charity would never seek to take another man's life or another one's life to be removed from the scenes of this life. But surely charity will be this in the heart, that even our enemies may be brought to a saving knowledge of the truth, and that Jesus Christ would give them life. Give them life. I say, where do our prayers take us in secret? Do we pray that for individuals and seek God that they may be born again? Friends, if born again, then we know this, they'll have charity. There'll be a change of life, there'll be a change of personality, a change of outlook. I tell you something else. There'll be a change of relationship between you and them. Great mercy, isn't it? But we can really, really say, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. This comes forth from charity. Charity also rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. This searches us out, does it not? To rejoice in iniquity. First of all, we might say, what is iniquity. Iniquity is that which God does not approve of. Let us put all our actions, all our thoughts in the scales. Does God approve of this? Does God approve of that? We've been to the house of God. Does God approve of that? But what has been our thoughts? What has been our behaviour in the house of God? My friend, it is not that iniquity when it's that which militates, goes against the mind and will of God. Iniquity. How we need delivering. Rejoice not in iniquity. Hast thou known the time when the word of preached has been the word of life spoken to your soul? Therefore you haven't rejoiced when the word has ceased, but may have desired this, Lord, oh, may it go on, and may I take a little home with me. May that which I take home be kept and preserved from the birds of the air stealing it. Charity, friends, desires for heavenly things, desires for those best gifts, desires that Jesus might smile upon you, desires that you might hear again Jesus say, "Thou art all fair, my love, there's no spot in thee." Oh, I say, that wondrous charity. Oh, that love to God and love for God that burns with a heavenly zeal in our heart, that it might ever be kept, that it might ever be preserved. It might shine as a clear, a pure light, oh, within our hearts and within our lives. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Now I come to this point. Oh, charity, this is how it treats the truth. It rejoices. And oh, the gospel is truth, a precious truth. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, that his free and sovereign grace is such. When you can truly sing that hymn, "Water from salvation's wells, thirsty sinners come and draw." Oh, that line in the same hymn, "Bring no money, price or aught, it is free grace, it can't be bought." Why, my friends, a charity, it rejoices in this. Why, it is here an open door, and there is a name written upon it. "Come and welcome," says a good Bunyan. "Come and welcome." Ah, we do not use that in at the Arminian way, but there is a welcome in the gospel, and I believe that charity rejoices to see it. Come whosoever will. Friend, what a wonderful word that is, that the God does not cut off poor sinners, but my friend, his word remains forever the same. But you know, the iniquity that is within us, do we not finger it, turn it over, say, "Yes, it's yours, providing it is given to you, providing you can prove these things." Friends, some men set up the truth and then, like little images, and then knock them all down and say, how's that, my friend? But there's no life, there's no salvation there. There's no softening of heart and spirit. There's no crying unto the Lord. Charity rejoices in the truth. Oh, that Christ Jesus has said he come to seek and to save that which was lost. Where charity abounds in the heart, that perfect love, my friend, it's thus brought to believe and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him, and in him alone. Oh, I say, what a mercy, if today that we can truly say, we rejoice in the truth, because, you see, it holds out a hope for such sinners as we. We'll come there again and again. A charity will watch this hope, will it not? It will look to it. Oh, will as the Lord come, and will he come today? Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Paul draws up a summary here of what charity will do in us and for us. Beareth all things, believeth all things. Not what men might say and think, but what is found in the Word of God that is forever and ever and will never and never be moved. Charity never faileth. What a wonderful truth that is. Look around us and see all the things that fail. Perhaps not at first, but eventually they fail. We sometimes see dead oak trees in the field. And eventually you say, oh look, that old tree has fallen down. Before it died, it stood for centuries. Since it died, it may have stood for a century. But friends, the time to come when it must go. It's finished. Friend, but charity is not like that. Oh, the perfect love of God was founded in him before the foundations of the world. And when this world is no more, my friend, charity, the perfect love of God, will ever abound and ever exist. And those that are found in him, in that great day, it will be that which they shall feed upon, live upon, through a never-ending eternity. It never faileth. We have heard people comment on various occasions, what will they be doing in heaven? What will heaven be like? What will they be enjoying? And how will they be entertained? Friend, that is not known to us. But the word here tells us, charity never faileth. I believe this. There's such an all-sufficiency, such fathoms and depths untold of the love of God, that it will occupy eternity, yea, again and again. It will be the sum and substance of rejoicing in heaven. Charity never faileth. But he goes on to say, those some of those things that do fail. He says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Yes, although we may be very, very satisfied with what we have in store, but they will one day cease. But charity, it never faileth. And Paul makes this very strong point here, and it's for our instruction. We sometimes mourn our lack of understanding and our lack of knowledge, but that will take nothing away from charity. That's a sweet comfort, isn't it? Charity will always abound. For in verse 9 he reads, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. There is only that limitation. Oh, we must remember that. But oh, charity is to all the Lord's people that everlasting love. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. In other words, then it shall be known. And he likens it in verse 11 to himself growing up. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that is a very clear illustration, isn't it? How charity works and how charity abounds. Yes, Paul says, I gradually developed into a man and went from one stage in life to another. And when I became a man, well, those early things I put away, I forgot, I didn't make anything more of them. He said, when I became and I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. What does this bring to our hearts and minds? Well, it shows us this. We will not be found in the fullness of glory here below. That is what awaits the Lord's people. But they are blessed and they are given from time to time with tokens of good and of his mercy. It gives to them that wondrous love and comforts them and assures them that he will never leave them or forsake them. He says, why, I only see in part. I look at the whole matter as seeing through a darkened glass or a glass darkly. We know what it is. If we take away a filter or a coloured glass from before our eyes, we see things differently. We see things as they are. They may appear ambiguous. They may appear distorted. So sometimes in the things of God, Satan would like to get us down and say, how much do you know? How much do you understand? How much do you compare to other people, friend? This is not good ground for us to travel in. It does not encourage us in the things of God. Why? Because we are what we are by the grace of God. Oh, that charity to us. I say, how watchful is the loving Lord. He watches over all his people. Yes, have we not read of those who have been limited in intelligence, and some might call them unintelligent people or silly people, my friends. But how bright some of them have been with regards to the things of God. I'm sure you've all read of that a young Scotchman who wanted to sit down at the table. And oh, how when he came to the table, he saw by face the Lord Jesus Christ. He see yon lovely man. My friend, he had a view which others hadn't, a view of not the same clearness. Oh, charity. Oh, the wondrous love of Christ is a virtue. Oh, that outshines every other. Oh, but the greatest of these is charity, he closes this chapter with. Yes, there's nothing greater than having this charity within. Oh, let me come to my final comments then upon this wonderful chapter, and it's this: how much charity have I? How much charity have you? What charity do I know of? Or how much do I know of it? Friend, searching questions, is it not? The Apostle Paul said this: I am what I am by the grace of God. Ah, my friends, he saw the charity of Almighty God. Yes, and oh, that love to him. Oh, that outreached and outstretched everything else. Because after all, Paul could have been found boasting and self-satisfied in many things, because he was a very able scholar. I've no doubt about that. And God used his scholarly manner for his own ends. But friends, Paul saw it in this light. The one thing that was needful was the love of Christ to him. I say, can we say that? Friend, if we are gloating over ourselves, if we are satisfied with everything else except charity, oh, there is something unbalanced in our religion, is there not? But perhaps I should put it this way round. If we have all these things but do not possess charity, we are of all men most miserable. We'll be like poor Belshazzar, who was put into the balances and found wanting. But friend, if the Lord puts thee in the balances this night, and thou hast charity there, charity indeed will supply. Charity will meet all thy needs. There's such a fullness in the Lord Jesus Christ that will cover everything else. Though we may mourn over so many faults and failings we've had, though we may rue the things that we've done, said and thought, but charity covers all these things. The great emblem of charity surely is this: the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cleanseth us from all sin. Amen.